Hey, welcome to Your Turn, Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us today. Hope you had a nice Christmas and New Year's break. And we're starting off the new year 2015 with Colleen Kelly. She is president of the National Treasury Employees Union and agreed to come into the studio today. Colleen, thank you for being with us today.
Glad to be here, Mike.
This is like a spring day in Pittsburgh for you, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Colleen, before we begin the thing, explanation, I go back to the days when your union was called NAIR. Sounds like a hair remover, but it was the National Association of Internal Revenue Employees, and I think a lot of people are stuck in a time warp and think it is strictly the IRS, but now it's now the National Treasury Employees Union, but your mandate is all over the place.
It is. We NTEU became our union's name back in the mid-70s, and we today represent over 150,000 federal employees in 31 different agencies, not just the IRS and not just in Treasury, but in Homeland Security and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, Securities and Exchange Commission, Health and Human Services, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Federal Election Commission, very long list, 31 agencies.
Really?
And most recently, employees at the CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the newly created agency, and CFTC, the Commodity Trade and Futures Commission. Just joined NTU about a month ago.
Interesting.
Actually.
And a number of those agencies are what you call it, they support themselves through...
A lot of them that I mentioned are financial regulatory agencies that are funded through fees that they collect from their consumers and their customers rather than through appropriated funds. So they are funded a little differently than the traditional agencies like IRS and Homeland Security.
They operate very differently, and if you go into the agencies, you can see they're very different from federal agencies, too. They do make a profit.
Yes, yes. There are differences, that is for sure.
Yeah. Colleen, NTEU, we know what it is. How did you get to where you are today? You're sitting across the microphone here. You're president of one of the largest federal unions, one of the largest unions in the country. How did this happen?
Well, I was a revenue agent for the IRS in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's where I went to work right out of college with an accounting degree. And while I was at the IRS, I joined NTEU and was a member and then became active in the local chapter, became the local chapter president there, and then eventually became a member of the NTEU staff here in Washington, D.C. And I was on staff for 8.5 years, and then our vice president, executive national vice president, retired. And I was asked to run, and I ran actually unopposed for that position in 1995. And then when our national president retired, I ran for office. That was in 1999, which sounds so long ago because it's like the last century, you know. So that's kind of the short version of my life at NTU, and it's from being a member from my first days of joining the IRS.
But you've been there, done that, were in the trenches as a revenue, you say revenue agent?
Yes.
And what do they do? There's a revenue officer and a revenue agent?
Yes, those are two of the occupations in the IRS. Revenue agents, we did examinations of tax returns of partnerships, corporations, and the revenue officers actually do the collection work. So if taxpayers file returns, acknowledge that they owe taxes to the IRS but are not able to pay, it's the revenue officers who they work with to arrange installment agreements or other kinds of payments.
Well, I know at least twice now the Congress has decided that the best way to collect money is not to have the IRS do it, but to have private debt collectors do it. And they've been referred to as junkyard dogs, and they're tougher and whatnot. And I know there was a lot of opposition to it, obviously from your membership, but from people who are just interested in the way good government works or doesn't work. And the idea was, and correct me if I'm wrong, the IRS would give these collectors the data. So you do all the work. You had the people. You knew what they owed. You knew where they were. But for whatever reason, they would be turned over to these private debt collectors who would get, was it 25%?
24%.
24%. That's not a bad return on the profit. And it crashed and burned both times it was tried because what people said, the private collectors were too heavy-handed. They were calling people and threatening. They were using private sector methods that wouldn't be tolerated in government. Is that right?
That happened. And in addition to that, because they were allowed to keep 24% of what they collected, They were not bringing in any revenue to the federal government. I can tell you that there's no revenue agent or revenue officer who is earning that kind of money on for the work that they do.
You'd take that sort of cut any day.
Exactly.
What is a revenue officer, if that's the correct term, what do they bring in on average?
Well, RAs and ROs are both considered to be enforcement personnel. And so the enforcement personnel at the IRS are documented to bring in $7 for every $1 invested in them. And that's a number that comes from the IRS, comes from Department of Treasury, has been documented by GAO. And this is not, you know, just a number that someone has come up with. So for every $1 invested in the IRS, there's a return on those enforcement personnel of $7. So it's really a loss for the not just the IRS, but for the country
sure.
to not invest in the IRS and give them the revenue to hire those enforcement personnel so they can keep that money coming in.
Okay, we need to take a break here. Lauren Larson, our producer, is giving me either that or she's having hot flashes, but we'll be right back here on federalnewsradio.com.
Here's Charlie Armstrong, Assistant Commissioner for the Office of Information and Technology at Customs and Border Protection at DHS on the Federal Executive Forum, featuring Profiles in Excellence, sponsored by Software AG.
We're going to move to agile development and Kanban, some more rapid, quick pace development efforts and provisioning. And no longer the big monolithic bills
right.
That take years and either fail big or fail really big.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
What if you could take a fast, lean, efficient special forces approach to your most complex integration and application scalability challenges? Put Software AG government solutions to the test. Software AG has delivered massive scale, real-time solutions to the government for more than 30 years. Whether it's with in-memory computing software to turbocharge application performance, or for business process management, integration, or data visualization, Software AG helps agencies prove it first and prove it fast. Visit softwareaggov.com today to learn more.
What would you do if you could speak Spanish? Have a barbecue with the Spanish-speaking family next door?
Hola, ¿qué tal, sí?
Swap stories with locals on a Costa Rican rainforest safari?
Ah, mira, es maravilloso.
Order your favorite Tex-Mex in Spanish?
Quisiera un burrito de carne, por favor.
Once-in-a-lifetime adventures to everyday moments. If you've always wanted to learn Spanish to have real conversations with native speakers, now you can. Because Rosetta Stone is letting everyone who calls try an absolutely free demo of its powerful language learning program. Call now, 1-800-733-1022. Fully immersing you in the Spanish language, Rosetta Stone is fast, fun, and easy. Learn on your computer or iPad. Practice on the go with your smartphone at your own pace and at your own convenience. If you've always wanted to speak Spanish, this is your chance with the fastest, easiest way to learn a language guaranteed. But don't wait. Call Rosetta Stone now for your free demo. 1-800-733-1022. That's 1-800-733-1022.
At Vencor, our team is 4,800 strong and ready to tackle any challenge. Our name might be new, but our company has over 40 years of proven performance in systems engineering, smart analytics, cybersecurity, and applied research. Whether we're supporting space launches like NASA's recent Orion exploration flight test, securing critical infrastructure, or analyzing data to save lives, Vencor delivers mission-critical solutions no matter how complex the challenge. Find out more at Vencor.com.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, and I'm talking with Colleen Kelly. She is president of the National Treasury Employees Union, and we sort of got the groundwork in the first part of the show about what NTEU is, and although it's big in the Treasury Department, and particularly with the IRS, it has a members in a variety of agencies, very interesting agencies, many of them profit-making. Back into the profit-making thing, before the break, I think you said that revenue officers and revenue agents, the people who handle the money of cases, bring in $7 for every dollar in salary.
For every $1 invested, yes, in the agency, they return $7. And one of the things that is so important that I just don't understand why many in Congress don't focus on is because a company would, a for-profit company would focus on this, that in addition to the $7 return on investment for every $1, this is not just money that's about the IRS. The IRS collects 93% of the revenue that funds the entire federal government. So when Congress does not fund the IRS to bring in the revenue, then every other agency who is dependent on appropriated funds from Congress suffers from that because the revenue is not there for them to be allocated as part of the appropriation process. So 93% of the revenue and all of those agencies who depend on appropriated funds are being harmed when Congress does not give the IRS the funding they need. And for the last 5 years, the IRS has had their budget cut, five consecutive years. Today, they have 13,000 fewer employees than they had in 2010.
I'm interested when you say 93% of the revenue comes through the Internal Revenue Service. I guess the other moneymakers, and they're not that big a deal, but they're still a big deal, is I think it's Minerals Management Service with Interior and Customs, obviously.
Actually, Customs, CBP,
yeah.
Customs and Border Protection, is the second.
Second, okay.
They bring in, I think, 3%.
Right, and Minerals Management is an Interior,
yes,
yeah.
It's very important.
Is there a reason for this? I think I told you before the break, I have a friend who's extremely politically conservative, and I mentioned to him the letter that Director Koskinen had sent to staff in mid-December talking about the cuts, and the same numbers you used, he used. I mean, it sounded almost like a union bulletin, and the warnings were there about this. And I was telling this to my friend, and he said, good. I'm glad they're cutting him. He's angry over the Lois Lerner incident, the Cincinnati thing, where there was alleged non-favoritism shown to conservative groups and that they gave him a hard time with their tax-exempt situation. Can you talk about that?
What I know from fact perspective, I read in the newspapers,
okay,
from whatever it is that they've discovered. But what
boy,
I can tell
you
is
trouble.
Those
yeah,
allegations yeah. Were a major distraction for the agency and also for employees. And not that there shouldn't be answers to those, but there have been investigations and there have been reports released. And every report to date has shown that no frontline employee did anything wrong, that there was no plot or agenda to treat one kind of taxpayer differently than another. They were not acting on applications timely, and that was because of some management issues along the way, where they were getting guidance from and where they were waiting for guidance. But it has proven to be a non-issue. But for those who are looking for a reason to not fund the IRS at the levels it needs to be operational, it's issues like this that they just hang on to and that they won't let go of. And it has nothing to do with the mission of the IRS and what these frontline employees are trying to do every day and what taxpayers are depending on them to do every day. We're coming up. We're getting ready to start a new filing season. January 20th, taxpayers are going to start filing their tax returns. They're going to be calling in by the hundreds of thousands on the telephone looking for assistance. And only half of those taxpayers are likely to be able to get through because of the staffing levels at the IRS. Only half of them. And if they get through, they're probably going to be on the phone for close to a half an hour on hold, waiting to speak to someone. That's because of the staffing level impact that these funding issues have had on the IRS. And in the end, this isn't just about the IRS. It's about the taxpayers who are looking for that service, who are looking for that assistance, and who deserve it. And the IRS wants to provide it. They just don't have the staff or the money, and Congress made sure of that with the 15 budget.
Well, I guess for a lot of people, particularly low-income people, the IRS is, in fact, their H&R Block. That's the outfit that does their taxes, correct?
Absolutely.
And you say half are not going to be able to get through?
Half will not be able to get through.
And what about if I persevere? How long am I going to be on the line?
Probably at least a half an hour. It'll be on hold.
So
if you get through, if your call even goes through.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at this, and I'm trying to recall now, it was the House committee that investigated the IRS. Republican-run committee, some very smart people on it. And as I recall, their report could find no wrongdoing. They couldn't make the link between Cincinnati, where the problem occurred, and Washington. You know, they were looking for the smoking gun. Right. Did the White House order it? Did Justice order it? Right. Many people suspected it did, but they could not find it. Yeah. So is that going to go away, or do you see the same problem?
Well, I think for most people, with all the investigations that have been done, it should go away. But for those who are using it for political reasons, for political leverage, for a reason to defund or not appropriately fund the IRS, unfortunately, I think some of them are not going to let go of it. We'll see with this new Congress. You know, there are some who were very vocal in leading the charge on trying to prove something was wrong and that employees did something wrong. And they were not successful in doing that. But some of them are coming back, and there are some, you know, some new ones who think that, still think that there was something there. And in my, and this is my opinion, it, you know, based on what I know and what I know of the frontline employees who do this work, who I met with and who I talked to, and all they want to do is their job. And they want to apply the tax law. The tax laws, by the way, that Congress passes, you know, they take a lot of heat and grief about how complicated the tax code is. The IRS and nor the employees made that tax code. That was all created by Congress. And so the IRS's job is to apply that tax code, to apply those laws, and to help taxpayers be able to comply, because, of course, the whole system of taxes in our country is a voluntary compliance system. And now all those who are relying on the IRS for that help to be able to be compliant, probably half of them are not going to get it. We also have tax assistance centers around the country where many taxpayers, whether they're low income or whether they're where English is a second language, perhaps.
Elderly.
Elderly, they come to these taxpayer assistance centers, and they will wait in line for hours for assistance. There are places where they have to lock the doors at noon and can't let taxpayers in for the rest of the day because the entire office is filled up with taxpayers waiting for help, and they will wait there for hours.
And these are customers who want to pay their taxes.
Who want to pay their taxes, yes.
Yeah. It's so interesting, the figures that the commissioner, Costigan, put out to the employees in mid-December are identical to yours. You know, everybody knows in Washington we can do anything with numbers. You say, what do I want to prove? And then let's get the numbers to back it up. But your numbers are the same. And he says here the 2015 budget falls $1.2 billion with a B, short of the 2010 budget of $12.15 billion. Planned by Congress is $1.5 billion below what the administration proposed. Since 2010, the budget reductions mean, as you said earlier, we have 13,000 fewer employees, and that's a number that will grow several thousand by the end of 2015. So you're operating with substantially smaller number of employees. How many does IRS have now? How many workers?
I don't even know the number anymore, Mike. It's probably not much over 80,000.
Okay, I remember. Yeah. I remember the days when it was over 100.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Back in the early and mid 90s. Yes.
And you've got, was it a couple of years ago? And you know, again, I think this is to your point that the IRS, people at the IRS don't write the tax code; they enforce it. Congress writes the tax laws, the Ways and Means Committee, and the Senate Finance Committee. That said, was it last year or year before last, there was an extension that Congress was supposed to routinely approve, and it didn't approve it until it was so late that it couldn't be put on the tax forms. It was some glitch.
Yes, it was a year, I think it was 2 years ago, and they had to delay the start of the filing season. They had to tell taxpayers who normally would file the first day so they can get their refund because they need it. And they had to delay the tax season for 2 weeks. They just couldn't even start accepting returns because the forms had to be adjusted, and then all of the technology that was accepting the electronically filed returns had to be adjusted.
And the IRS, of course, the employees take the heat for that,
yes,
but it was a not only the tax code that Congress implemented, but then it was a failure to reauthorize it for that current year.
And we run that risk every year. They always come right down to the wire they call them tax extenders. And it really puts in place credits and things that taxpayers have counted on all along, but they needed in the law to say that it was effective for 2014 before people file their return. But if they wait till the last minute to do it, then the IRS has to be able to give the taxpayers the right forms and the right information.
They used to say back in the days of Ronald Reagan, if you were for it, it was a strategic defense initiative. If you were against it, it was Star Wars. But it's the same thing. And you've got that now with the Affordable Care Act, if you like it, to give it its proper name, or Obamacare, if maybe you're being a little snarky. So whatever you call it, the ACA or Obamacare, a new provision that kicks in this year that's going to impact not only people in the IRS, but me, I guess, indirectly as a taxpayer.
Yes, and the details of the ACA really have nothing to do with the IRS. They are part of the system that was created that will have a line item on your tax return that where you say whether you have health insurance or not. And if you don't, then there's another line item you have to fill in. But again, this is just something the IRS was told, here is the law and you will administer it, incorporate it into the 1040, into the tax return. That is going to cause hundreds of thousands of more phone calls that didn't come in last year. And that is going to cause this traffic and the inability to get through. Even it's going to be even a bigger problem this year.
Well, I can see the confusion because you and I read it and don't quite get it. But for some of the people it's impacting, it's especially tough. But as I gather, if you have to prove that you have health insurance, the right kind of health insurance. And if you don't, you pay a penalty. And although it's a small penalty, I think it's $95 for the 2014-2015 tax year. It's $95 or 1% of your income. But rather quickly, maybe in a couple of years, it's going to go up to $500 to $1,000. So somebody who's been saying, well, I can't afford health insurance, I feel like I can't afford it, so I'll just pay the $95, pay the fine. But when it gets up to $1,000, $2,000, then they're going to have to make a choice. But they're going to have to make an educated choice. Can it work this way?
Well, you have much more information in detail about this than I do. Maybe intentionally, I don't know the numbers, and I don't want to know because I will never be cited as the expert on this. Yeah. But what will happen is whether it's $95 or $10, whatever it is. If it then affects the refund that you get or the refund that you're expecting, here we go again to where the taxpayers are going to have questions because this is something new. It's something different. And the IRS's job is to implement it. While the IRS is not implementing ACA, they have nothing to do with what kind of insurance you have or where you get it or how much it costs. For them, it's about this line item and the penalty and how that affects their refund. So all these calls will come into the IRS, and instead of having more frontline employees there to help, they're going to have less.
We'll take a short break here, talking with Colleen Kelly. She's president of the National Treasury Employees Union. We'll be right back here on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM.
It's the Washington Capitals 40th anniversary season, and single game tickets are on sale now.
He's got a shot here. He scores! Hat trick, Alex Ovechkin!
Come see Ovechkin, Backstrom, and all of your favorite Capitals live at Verizon Center all season long. Tickets available online, Ticketmaster.com, and also at WashingtonCaps.com. Let's go, Caps!
Attention, civilian federal employees. You're probably aware of your Fegley life insurance options, but did you know you can obtain economical group life insurance coverage through WAPA? WAPA is an independent nonprofit association formed in 1943, dedicated to serving the health, welfare, and financial well-being of civilian federal employees. To learn more about WAPA and their group term life program, visit WAPA.org. That's WAEPA.org. WAPA's group term life insurance product offers coverage from $25,000 up to $750,000. And through their associate member program, even your spouse and non-dependent adult children can also get group term life insurance coverage from $25,000 up to $750,000 through WAPA. By the way, they're not required to be civilian federal employees to apply for this coverage.
The WAPA Group Term Life Program is not endorsed by the federal government. Coverage is provided by Life Insurance Company of North America and is subject to insurer approval with evidence of good health. This policy contains exclusions and benefits may reduce by age.
The next generation of cybersecurity experts with Palo Alto Networks. Here's Rick Howard, Chief Security Officer, from a recent conversation with Steve Hoffman, Vice President of U.S. Federal.
Now that we have the ability to use the same technology we used in the old way, you know, using an app ID and current content ID and user ID, I can apply those same things now to the virtualized network, which we never had before. And we can really lock that down to this application can only talk to that application, and that's only traffic we're going to allow inside the data center.
With an innovative approach to cybersecurity to thwart both known and unknown threats, including APTs, Palo Alto Networks provides the right solution for securing all of your network. Palo Alto Networks serves federal government customers with protection of data center operation for both north-south and east-west traffic and protection for the mobile environment. For more insights, visit paloaltonetworks.com/government. That's paloaltonetworks.com/government.
This hour of news is brought to you by Boeing, delivering the enduring capability and value of the P-8A Maritime Patrol aircraft to the United States Navy, on time and on budget.
Management Friday on Federal News Radio. Friday mornings at 10, Aileen Black and Gigi Shum host Women of Washington. Hear from Washington, D.C.'s ambitious and influential female executives, role models for the next generation Washington leader. Then at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to learn the best career path for you. Management Friday on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here. I'm talking with Colleen Kelly. She's president of the National Treasury Employees Union, and a really good rundown on some of the funding woes of the IRS and the fact that if you are a taxpayer with questions for the IRS, and I guess this is particularly true of lower-income people, of older people, but people who, for whatever reason, depend on the IRS to kind of be their agent with the IRS. You're going to call in during this filing season, which I guess technically started January 1, and only about half of the people are going to get through. And you say of those who do get through, it could be 30 minutes or more on the phone?
Yes. Yes, that is what the public, the taxpayers who are looking for help are going to run into. And it's because of funding. It's because of staffing.
Well, and it's got to be, you know, I mean, we all obviously always think of the taxpayer first, but for the employees, you know, it's like no coffee break in this situation.
No, it can be very, very stressful and very intense because, as you can imagine, if you're waiting, if you tried to get through and got dropped three or four times and then you did get through and were on hold for a half an hour, you can imagine the kind of reception.
Yeah.
You know, you might, some taxpayers will be delivering to those IRS employees, and they deal with that every day, and they understand they have to, and they start off by saying, you know, we're really sorry, it took so long, we're doing the best we can, what can we do to help you today, you know. But a lot of them are speaking in very high-pitched voices, the taxpayers, and they're very angry, they're
sure.
yelling. And the same thing happens in these taxpayer assistance sites where they walk in, people get angry in line. You know, because they've waited so long, or because they get there at noon and then they can't get in because the room's already full and there's not enough staff to help them.
Well, yeah, and it's not just these times. This has been that way forever. But I used to walk by a Social Security office, and, you know, you think of Social Security as elderly people, you know, silver-haired people coming in to get their claims. But there was an armed guard in there even then, and because it was necessary. We hear from probably more IRS employees here at Federal News Radio than any single agency. Very vocal people, very unhappy in many cases, very, as you said, very proud of their jobs, but they're not happy with the way things are going. And are you concerned about security? I mean, I'm thinking of, we had totally unrelated instance, but the two policemen assassinated in New York City recently, this week. In Paris, a satirist magazine. I'm not familiar with it, but I know the type. It's sort of like Punch or maybe even Mad Comic on a higher level. And when they were satirizing a certain group, and lo and behold, two gunmen came in and I believe shot six people. I don't know if all of them were killed or not, but it's a dangerous time to be out in the public there in any sort of controversial situation.
Well, we're very concerned, as are the employees, about safety and security any day, as you
yeah.
said, and especially in these times. We work with the agencies constantly in an effort to make sure that that security is provided and that employees feel like they're in a safe environment. That circles right back to budget because, mm-hmm. of course, that all costs money and then choices are being made. But it's also about the tone and the attitude that kind of drive a lot of negative comments from whether it's from Congress, and there are too many in Congress who do that. Sometimes you'll see it in the media just where, you know, very disrespectful comments are made about federal employees in general or maybe IRS in particular. And that's not helpful at all. I mean, that kind of, you know, tone and attitude really just kind of exacerbates the risk of some kind of a security issue. We've worked nonstop with the IRS in particular, but we work with Customs and Border Protection. You know, our employees there, many of them are armed, but that can work both ways, that can, you know, make you feel safer, or it can make you feel like you're a target. So, you know, every one of our agencies has issues like that, if there's a negativity out there about them or being aimed at them. And that is surely the case when it comes to the IRS.
Well, every time I read about one of these security breaches, whether it's Target or the Thrift Savings Plan, but, you know, they say this happened and that happened, and then it seems to go away. They offer you credit checks for a year, and it sort of seems to disappear. But when these are federal agencies, you're getting home addresses and titles of people. And it could make a very interesting target list for certain people if they wanted to exact revenge, whether it's in the customs and maybe it's smugglers, the bosses of the coyotes, or whether it's a terrorist sort of thing, whether it's a domestic terrorist who in some ways have been the most dangerous to this country. Is that a concern?
Oh, it always is. I mean, even if you just even take a step outside of employment of any kind, much less federal employment, just... I saw a story recently about road rage. I mean, there's just a lot of anger for whatever reason out there. And when it gets so focused or gets incited by, you know, those who are targeting, even if it's verbally targeting IRS employees or IRS as an agency, and then indirectly it goes to the employees, it's just not helpful. It's not helpful to the public, and it's not helpful to these employees who are trying to do their jobs, and it's not helpful to their safety. I think it's really a disservice and really irresponsible for those who do that.
I remember my newspaper days with the Washington Post, particularly in the early days. We were literally two blocks from the White House, so some of the more interesting people that inhabit Lafayette Park could make their way to us. And I frequently were visited by men wearing aluminum foil, tinfoil helmets. The CIA was beaming rays into them, sometimes humorous, but very sad and disturbed people. There's a lot more of them now. Security has changed that. People don't have ready access to buildings, but they can stand outside.
Yes, they can. And that causes concern and fear, and it causes an alertness today on the part of employees that they really didn't have to worry about 10 or 20 years ago. But it's of concern. You know, they are often advised to take off their government ID when they leave the building, mm-hmm. you know, to not go to the metro or to the parking or shopping or whatever with it on. Those are things they shouldn't have to worry about, but they do. And we work at NTU with the agencies to create the safest environment possible, and we're going to continue to do that.
I'm haunted by the fact that you say the IRS brings in $7 for every dollar it spends. That's an incredible figure. I mean, any business in America would love to have that model. Do you know people who have gone to members of Congress, and we're not talking about the vengeance seeking ones here who have a political agenda. Maybe in some cases they're correct, but maybe not. But it gets somebody, and I'm thinking of Congressman Daryl Issa of California, a smart man, a Republican, reputed to be the richest man in Congress, and unlike a lot of people, he made it the old-fashioned way. He made it outside of government, I think in the security business, but he's the richest man in Congress, so this guy knows a thing or two about making a buck. Do you know if anybody, or have you ever had a one-on-one with him and said, sir, look at, here's the bottom line, where do we go?
I can tell you that I have testified before him. I have submitted testimony to him. My staff and NTU chapters in his districts have met with him and or his staff personally. And I feel very confident in telling you that every member of Congress, maybe those who just were sworn in yesterday don't have this information yet, but they will within the next month. Every member of Congress has been presented with the facts about the return that the IRS brings for every dollar invested in them. Without exception, this information has been spoon-fed to them, hand-delivered to them over and over and over again, because they are facts. And you had mentioned that in Commissioner Koskinen's message that he uses this, a lot of the same numbers that you've heard me use. Well, there's a very good reason for what that. NTU has never gone out and created our own numbers about this. There are documented facts that have been presented under oath before to Congress by IRS, by the Department of Treasury, by GAO, by TIGTA, by numerous groups. These are not NTU numbers. That's the whole point. Yeah. These are the facts that if somebody like GAO is coming in to and of affirming these facts, these are the numbers. I mean, it's not, and I hear what you're saying, Mike, about not just in this town, but I think in general, you know, you can kind of make numbers mean whatever you want them to mean. These numbers have not changed because they are facts and they're documented. And why a business person in the private sector would never walk away from a deal like this. And yet, when it comes to the federal government, they are using totally unrelated political reasons to underfund the IRS and just ignoring the facts.
Well, and again, maybe this is naive, but to what end? I mean, so you limit the IRS's ability to collect taxes. The revenue goes down. They're talking about layoffs of IRS people in 2015. Where does this take us? I mean, who benefits?
Well, it's one of those vicious circles. You know, if you underfund an agency, then they will fail. And then when they fail, you use that as the excuse to underfund them. And you just, you know, create this.
Is the idea of coming back, bringing back the private debt collectors, has that surfaced yet?
There are surely those out there. It was out last year again. There were proposals out to do it again last year. But it's not just on that piece of it. I mean, that those who would like to destroy the IRS talk about, again, it's all theoretical. It's about small government, and it's about privatization, you know, words you hear every day without anybody thinking through what that even means for an agency like the IRS that has the mission that it has, which is to bring in the revenue that funds the entire federal government. It makes zero business sense. But it's I believe it's just a political agenda.
Yeah, and I mean, they just don't like the IRS. They don't like taxes.
Nope. And I don't know where they think this revenue is going to come from.
Yeah.
Because whatever their pet project is or their favorite agency is that they want to fund, again, if the IRS isn't bringing in the revenue, there's no money there to give to whoever the favorite agency is or the agency that really needs it. And there are a lot of agencies who are not being funded at the levels to deliver their mission today.
Okay.
It ends up for me being a core discussion about the IRS because they're the ones that bring in the revenue.
The dog is chasing its tail. Yeah. Take a short break here, talking with Colleen Kelly, president of the National Treasury Employees Union. We'll be right back.
The Patriot League is the model that validates the balance between academics and athletics and exhibits the truest sense of the term scholar-athlete. The graduates of 10 of the nation's premier academic institutions serve as leaders in the corporate and academic worlds, provide leadership within their communities, and help the Patriot League rank among the nation's leaders in NCAA graduation rates. The Patriot League, today's scholar-athletes, tomorrow's leaders. For information, visit the Patriot League website at patriotleague.com or follow us on Twitter at Patriot League.
And now it's time for another FedGuard Factor, career essentials for federal employees.
You know professional liability protection is important in today's federal workplace. So ask yourself this question. Is it better to have it and not need it, or need it and not have it? When you consider legal fees can run into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, why risk it? The FedGuard protection is less than $300 a year, and it provides you with a knowledgeable attorney and covers the legal fees, too. Don't go it alone.
Learn more at FedGuard.com. That's FedGuard.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Giannotto of the Giannotto Clinic, and Washingtonians have come to rely on me for age management and healthy living. And now you can listen to me live on my weekly radio show, Wellness DC, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Please join me. I'll take your calls, I'll share cutting-edge strategies, and I'll share techniques for healthier lifestyle. So tune in on Saturday mornings, listen to Wellness DC with me, Dr. Giannotto, on 1500 a.m. and streaming live on federalnewsradio.com.
Open standards, fabric, software-defined networking, and pay-as-you-go flexibility are essential building blocks for the new IP, the modern approach to data center networking. But it's not just about technology. Forward-thinking federal agencies can achieve huge cost savings and innovation when they align IT acquisition to their core mission requirements rather than to a specific vendor or brand. For more insights about federal IT procurement, download Federal Manager Survey results at federalnewsradio.com, search procurement. Brocade, helping government IT transition to the new IP.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6 I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6 I make his breakfast. At 7 I shower. Every day I wake up
for those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This week, Recreation News editor Marvin Bond has a few discounts to help you kick off the new year. One's a little out of the ordinary, though.
A military ID gets you discounted admission to the Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium in Baltimore's Inner Harbor. If you've never been to a Ripley's Museum, you're really in for a treat because it is unusual and they're definitely unique. You can even find out the role that Robert Ripley played in designating our national anthem as the Star Spangled Banner. Find out more about all of this on page 8 of the January Recreation News or, as always, at recreationnews.com.
Siri, what's going on with recreationnews.com?
Let's ask Marvin Vaughn.
Now you can use your mobile devices to read stories, enter contests, see videos, and find hot deals. We really expanded the relaunched website. The content is always changing, and there is content there you won't find in the print edition. It's all at your fingertips at recreationnews.com.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
Join the Armed Forces Communications and Electronics Association Washington, D.C. chapter January 12th in Arlington, Virginia, to hear leaders from the Defense Information Systems Agency discuss the Department of Defense's information technology, command and control, and information sharing capabilities, requirements, programs, and priorities for 2015 and beyond. The annual DISA luncheon sells out. To reserve your seat today, please visit dc.afciachapters.org.
FederalNewsRadio.com. It's the only place to read Mike Causey. Get the latest news on your federal pay, benefits, and retirement at FederalNewsRadio.com. Search term Causey.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, talking with Colleen Kelly. She's president of the National Treasury Employees Union. Good discussion about figures and budgets. And you're saying there are going to be a lot of taxpayers disappointed this year because the IRS doesn't have the people or the funds. And did I get you right? Half of the people who call in for assistance probably won't get through. And of those that do, many will spend 30 minutes or more on hold.
Yes, that's okay. The expectation, Mike, based on call volume historically and on the current staffing.
Well, you know, given the stress levels that with the public versus the government, you know, you have the IRS situation, which is ongoing but seems to be getting worse. You have the VA, for obvious reasons, and Social Security. You know, people depending on the government, following government mandates, and then they don't get the help they need or they think they need. This creates a dangerous situation.
It does, and it's one that will make the taxpayers angry. And their anger will get focused on the IRS and on the IRS employees, and that's not where it should be focused. They need to let Congress know that the IRS needs to be funded so it can help them be compliant in filing their tax return and in getting their refund or getting their questions answered or getting on an installment agreement or whatever they need. And we've seen this since 2010 is what we all keep focused on because that's when the cuts started coming. GAO has said that this year there will be 26% fewer IRS employees available on the phones to help taxpayers than there were in 2010. So again, that's GAO acknowledging that there will be 26% fewer IRS employees available to answer the phones, and that's because of the budget.
And particularly, without making a generalization, I would think the people that are most likely to call, maybe lower income, elderly people, they're going to be most impacted by these changes in the Affordable Care Act with the insurance mandates and whatnot.
And I think first-time filers, a lot of, the younger generations just coming out of school, getting their first jobs, and being, getting ACA insurance for the first time. I mean, I think there are going to be who have been the usual users of the phones as well as the walk-in sites. But there are always new groups of taxpayers, especially those for the first time, you know, who are looking for. And where would you go if you're, if it's the first time you're doing this, where would you go for help? You would think you would go to the IRS.
I shudder when I first started working, and it didn't make much money. It wasn't a complicated return, but I would take mine to the drugstore, and they had people in booths. And while you'd go get a 49-cent hamburger, they would do your taxes. And I guess the fact that I'm not in prison shows that it worked. But Colleen, I can't remember a year when people said morale is better now than it ever has been. It just seems like keeps getting worse and worse, and the media gleefully reports that it's worse this year than last year, and it was worse last year than the year before. What's the state of morale with your troops?
I think in general it is definitely lower than it's ever been, and each year the agency say they hope that, you know, it will turn, that it will go in the other direction, and it doesn't, and it's because of things like not funding the agencies to deliver on their missions. It's because of 3 years of pay freezes. It's because of a 1% pay raise, and now this January, this month, another 1%. But that means that federal employees have fallen even further behind from a pay perspective with their private sector counterparts. It's nonstop attacks on their retirement system, threats to their health insurance. And those are all things, in fairness to the agency cannot control any of that. But there are things the agencies can control that would positively impact employee morale. And some are trying to do that, but they really haven't made any big dents yet. And even those who are really trying are hampered again by resources because, they're short-staffed trying to deliver on a mission. So there's really not a lot of time to focus on other things, even though a lot of the executives who I talk to, they understand that the largest asset any agency has is their frontline employees, is their workforce, and that's where their investment of time and energy as well as resources needs to be for the agency to be successful, to be viewed as a better place to work so that people want to come to work for these federal agencies, which is, everyone's anticipating that this is going to be a big problem in the future, that they're seeing people leave, the agencies aren't hiring, and then they hear about the threats of furloughs or layoffs, pay freezes, and so they say increased in their pension contributions. And they say, why would I even look at the federal government for a career?
I've talked to a number of people who've had a variety of jobs, really smart, dedicated, yada, yada, yada. And every one of them has said the toughest part of their job is managing people, which is an interesting thing. It's not the rocket science part. It's managing the rocket scientists.
Well, I think there are a lot of managers in the federal government who were really good at their frontline jobs and who really want to be good managers. The agencies either don't focus the time and the energy to train them, or they don't have the resources. I think there is a combination there. But even though NTU does not represent managers in any of our agencies, we believe that the agencies owe them training and support for them to be able to learn and acquire those skills to be able to manage people, because it's not something, I mean, you can read a book about it, but, you know, to really be effective and to motivate people and to be not really manage people, but to lead, which I think is what we want these managers to do, is to be seen as leaders. And that all gets caught up again in the money and in what the priorities of the agency is. The agency is struggling with the budget it has to deliver on the mission that the American public is looking for. They're, I'm not defending them, but they're not going to spend one ounce of time doing anything other than that.
Just got a little time left, but I got an email here from Tony Kay, and he said, he notes he's a former union member, he's retired now. He said most of the federal unions over the last five or seven presidents have supported Democratic presidents, Democratic candidates for president. And he said, do you feel like you've been stabbed in the back? Is this something that might change this sort of semi-automatic support for Democratic candidates?
Well, for NTEU, there's no automatic support for anyone. What our support is based on is voting records on federal employee issues. That is the sole thing that we look at, attitudes towards and action on federal employee issues. And I would say that based on the choices that we've had in the last however many elections Tony's talking about, we supported the candidate who was, based on their voting record, would be the best for federal employees. Might not mean that they would be the best if we got to just pick whoever we wanted, but based on what the choices were, it was their voting record, and that's how they earned NTEU support.
Do you and other union leaders ever worried about being taken for granted?
I don't, because I can tell you that NTEU works very hard with all those who are running for office to let them know what our expectations are, what our criteria is, and what our tracking and accountability for future decisions that we make about those races are.
Very good. Colleen Kelly, National Treasury Employees Union, thank you so much for being here and agreeing to come in studio on this nasty day. And thanks to Lauren Larson for producing the show. We'll see you here next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Have a good week. Remember, the show is archived, so you can listen anytime.